When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. First, you probably know the bad news already. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. As a finance nerd, you would assume that I have my money game all together. Well, shocker, I didn't. Until Monarch Money. Monarch Money allowed me to easily see what is going on with my finances, help me get a better handle on my spending, budgets, and more. It's my go-to app every day, more so than my bank, because I can quickly see where I am with my budgets and spending, allowing me to invest more and spend time on things I want to do. It's my GPS for money. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all your tags and categories. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving the product. They release updates every 2 weeks and allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. In fact, Monarch Money is one of the first to bring you direct Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings syncing with the latest iOS 17.4 update. Now you can sync your wallet directly for seamless budgeting. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. That's monarchmoney.com/beginners for your extended 30-day free trial.
Love this podcast because it crushes your dreams of getting rich quick.
They actually got me into reading stats for anything.
You're tuned in to the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Led by Andrew Sather and Dave Ahern.
Step-by-step premium investing guidance for beginners.
Your path to financial freedom starts now.
Starts now.
All right, folks, welcome to Investing for Beginners podcast. Tonight, we have a special guest. We have two gentlemen joining us, one from Vancouver, Canada, and the other one from Korea. Yes, all the way from Korea. I have Jesse and Kevin from REI Conversion. They're here to talk to us a little bit about real estate and land. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your origin story, if you will, and kind of how you guys met and how you guys got started. It sounds like a story.
Yeah. Thanks again for having us on the show, by the way. So both Kevin and I, we started in the land investing area. I actually started with houses first and then eventually sort of moved into investing in land. I actually met somebody by the name of Seth over at RE Tipster, retipster.com. If you're looking for a great blog on all things real estate investing, land investing, that is a great resource. Seth puts out a lot of good content. Anyways, we got connected and eventually learned about what land investing was. And I took a stab at it. And, within just a few weeks of hearing the term land investing, because we don't have anything like that in Canada, I was already profiting within my first month. So it was awesome. And then ever since then, I come from a digital background on the marketing side of things. I started helping other land investors and then started building out websites and then eventually led us to build sort of our land management tool called Pebble, which is part of the suite of tools that we have under REI Conversion. Com. So that's sort of my story. And then me and Kevin in between met there. But Kevin, why don't you sort of share a little bit about how you got started?
Yeah. So a similar story kind of to Jesse. I'm over here in Seoul, South Korea. And I was sort of listening to a bunch of podcasts, kind of like yours, about just how to invest. I was reading a lot of books about investing and kind of trying to figure out a game plan for what I was going to do kind of going forward. And I stumbled onto a random podcast where some guy was talking about flipping land, where you basically buy parcels of land and you buy them cheap and sell them on for a profit. And one thing that really stuck out to me was the fact that he said that you don't have to be located anywhere near the land to actually do this. Whereas, you know, if you're flipping a house and you need to do construction, you can do that remotely, but it's a lot more challenging than the land business. So I thought, hey, this sounds like a great idea. Let me just give it a shot. And similar to Jesse, within a couple months, I was flipping with these just crazy profit numbers. And sort of the rest was history, I guess. I've been doing it for about a year and a half to almost 2 years now. And then my background is actually in software. So I started building some software tools to sort of help me along the process, sort of managing my properties and doing some automations around things. That's when I got connected with Jesse, and he said, hey, this tool looks really cool. We should make this into a product that other people can use.
Well, that's an interesting story. It's a very interesting story. So as somebody that knows almost nothing about this, if I was to teach me the Padawan ways of how this works somebody who doesn't know anything about this, what's the difference between land and buying real estate? I guess let's start with that.
Yeah. Well, land is a form of real estate. So I think the big difference is sort of the way that you sort of run the business itself. The model is pretty, you know, in its bare bones is quite, you know, basic, you know, buy low, sell high type of thing. But it sort of comes down to the processes of how this all works. So the typical route that a land investor would go about building, you know, his business, getting, you know, acquiring property, you know, sending out what we call either direct mailers or a way to sort of acquire property. And then once you acquire that property, the other half of the business is to really just market that property and flip it for a profit. I mean, that's probably on the very, very basic side of things. Kevin, would you be able to add to that?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, in the U.S., there are literally millions of parcels of land. Every square inch of the United States is owned by someone. Sometimes it's owned by the federal government, but in a lot of cases, it's owned privately. And one thing that I have discovered is that a lot of this land is owned by people who don't really care about it. In a lot of cases, the people I talk to, you know, maybe they had an uncle who owned 10 acres out in Arizona, and that uncle died and gave this parcel of land to some nephew who's living out in New York. And this person in New York is like, well, I don't care about 10 acres of land in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, and I'm just sitting here paying property taxes on it. I have no idea how to even go about getting rid of this thing, and I really just want it off my hands. If they get a postcard from me or a letter from me saying, hey, I see you own this 10-acre property in Arizona, and I'm happy to take it off your hands, and here's an offer price that I can give you for it, a lot of these people are really relieved. To them, it's oh, this is something I don't have to think about anymore. I can stop paying property taxes on this, and I can just get rid of it, and it'll be off my hands. And then on the flip side, I can take that parcel and I can go find people in the local area who really want land for either hunting or camping, or they're looking to retire. You know, a big thing that I'm seeing now is that a lot of the baby boomer generation is retiring and they're looking to leave their city that they had a corporate job in and move out to the country. In fact, my parents did the exact same thing about 5 years ago. They live in Wisconsin and they bought 80 acres out in the farmlands of Wisconsin and built a ranch, and they're loving life. And that's what a lot of people are doing. So a lot of people will reach out to me saying exactly the same thing. They want a place where they can retire to, have some land, some space. Some people are just looking for a weekend camping getaway. Some people are looking for hunting plots, and they're happy to pay good prices for these properties. So it's just a matter of finding those people who are interested in selling, will do so quickly, and then finding the buyers for that land.
So how do you go from point A to point B then? So how do you guys source out the land, and then how do you find the buyers?
Yeah. One of the really cool things about the States is the fact that you have access to a lot of this public data of who owns the properties and all that information that's usually kept with the county. So there's a lot of ways that you can get this sort of data. And typically a lot of people will start off with either contacting the county for the list of property owners that own land in that county, or there are what we call sort of data providers that have this information, which you can purchase a list from, which essentially come from the county, but they've sort of gone through and refined that list or basically organized that list a lot better than the county can, because sometimes the county honestly has things literally printed on physical paper or on like CDs and whatnot. So getting that data from a data provider, and then starting to get to work by sort of contacting these people, typically by direct mailers. A lot of times that's typically the path. There's sort of this typical path that a lot of investors just follow, which is, you know, getting out your what we call our mailers or a direct mail out to these property owners, letting them know that you're interested to purchase their property. And obviously you're going to get a lot of people who reject you. And then from there, you know, you're going to get some deals that some people are interested. Either you've made an offer on that letter, or you make an offer after they've sort of replied to a letter, where you express you're interested in that property. And once you sort of negotiate that property, you end up acquiring it, and then off it goes to the marketing side, where then you go and market your properties, whether you're listing it on the MLS or you have a real estate agent who sells it for you, or you know, a lot of us even use something like Facebook Marketplace to flip that property.
So how quickly does this process take? So like from the time that you buy the land to the time that you sell the land, is that days, weeks, months, years? Like how, or does it depend on the location of the property? Or is, I'm guessing there's lots of variables in that question.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of property it is. A lot of people going into this business, like myself, will start with kind of the lower dollar properties. You know, there's lots of properties out in Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, where you can buy these plots for, you know, a few hundred dollars even. And you can go ahead and go turn those around and sell them on Craigslist or Facebook for maybe double or triple what you paid for them. And in those cases, you can expect to be able to sell those in a month, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks is what I typically do. Now, some of the higher dollar properties, I think as you gain more experience, you kind of move up the ladder of gaining higher dollar properties. And typically my turnaround now is anywhere from a month to maybe 3 months. Some take longer than others just because they're either bigger or they're more niche kind of, they've got a specific aspect that people are looking for. So it's sort of all over the place, but I try to definitely sell everything within 6 months if possible. So that's sort of the time frame we're looking at.
I got a question for you guys. So is there any sort of selection process that you go through as you look at these properties, or are you just kind of going down the list and just saying, okay, well, 100 people said no, one person said yes, so I'm just going to buy the one that somebody said yes to?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we definitely take a lot of time to do due diligence, and I'm certainly not buying every property that I get a response from. In fact, the majority I would not purchase. Either there's, you know, a huge amount of back taxes, or there's some lien on the property, or there's some other aspect of the property that makes me not want it for whatever reason. But, you know, there's, of those people that get back to me, I'd say I'm purchasing maybe 20% of those that come back. And you sort of know it when you see it. When you see a good property, you check it out on Google Maps, you sort of figure out the lay of the land. If it's got good access and there's no issues with the title, then that's usually a pointer that it's a good property to purchase.
Could you dive a little deeper into that? Because like Dave, I'm somebody who knows absolutely nothing about this kind of stuff. So, you know, the only thing I could think of would be if I were hypothetically wanting to buy land to build my own ranch, I would want to make sure, you know, I had access to fresh water or something, and maybe a way to plug into the grid if I wanted to. Those are the only really things I could kind of think of. What else is involved?
Yeah, so there's a few main things that people care about. Like you said, access is probably number one, making sure that there is legal access to the property. The closer it is to a public road, the better. But some people actually prefer it to be a little bit off the beaten path, but just so long as there's some way to access the property legally. That's sort of my number one filter criteria when I'm evaluating a property. Then number two is power and water. Some areas of the U.S., water is a very difficult thing to come by. So you sort of have to know the area you're working with and figure out what the options are for water. Whether it's some counties have different restrictions on what you can drill, what you can't drill, if you can do, if you can put tanks in to have your own water supply. But then some people, you know, even if there is no option for having water, there are a lot of people who still want just camping land. They just want to be able to come out and hunt. And to them, if it doesn't have water, it doesn't matter, because they're just coming out there to go hunting on the weekends. So that's definitely a few things. Terrain is one thing. You know, if somebody's looking for, if you're looking to sell to someone who wants to build a house, you need to have a property that is going to have enough room to do that. So there's not some big cliff in the middle of the property, or you need to figure out if there's any setback requirements, if it's a really narrow property, and you need to figure out if there's enough room with setbacks. And so it takes a little bit of digging, calling with the county and just verifying that that properties are buildable. That's definitely a thing to think about.
Figuring power as well. And figuring out the zoning as well. Certain kind of properties have certain kind of restrictions. But a lot of times the county or somewhere the county can direct you to find out the information on that property, depending on what you want to use that property for. The best place to start is sort of start speaking with the county and asking them, you know, what can be done and on that property itself.
Somewhat along those lines, you know, you mentioned some of the factors involved when you're personally looking for properties. So as it comes to somebody who wants to be an investor, like, are there certain characteristics or certain things about the style of a way somebody wants to invest that would make you say, hey, land investing would probably be a great fit for somebody like you?
I definitely think running a you know, being a land investor is really running a business. There's if you're, you know, up for building processes and systems and that, just because there's so many I guess we would call it steps to land investing, you know, you really have to be up for that. I always say land investing is sort of like it's like it reminds me of very much of an e-commerce business behind the facade of real estate investing. So it's very unlike your typical real estate investing. It very much is a scalable and a business that you can absolutely run remotely as well. So if you're looking to build something for yourself that you can, you know, work on remotely, again, both Kevin and I are out of the country, you know, land investing is definitely a great one.
Let's face it, a vibrant sex life contributes significantly to your overall happiness and confidence, but sometimes your hectic schedule doesn't leave room for doctor visits. That's where Hims steps in. With their convenient and discreet online platform, you can receive treatment for erectile dysfunction from the comfort and privacy of your own home. No more waiting rooms, no more awkward conversations, just a simple, direct path to treatment that works around your life, not interrupts it. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance is needed. If ED is getting you down, it's time you join hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/investing. That's hims.com/investing for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/investing. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription needed. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And the cool part about it too is that there's so many different ways you can attack this. You can go for like what we've been talking about, which is sort of being a retail investor where you're buying properties and then selling them to the public. Or you can hook up with some real estate agents and you can partner with them to basically be the ones selling your property. So you can just focus on acquiring, and then you kick it off to your real estate agent to do the sales part of things. And we know a lot of people that do that and save a ton of time doing it that way. You can also be a wholesaler to other land investors. You can go find the properties, get them under contract, and then just sell the contract to a wholesaler to another investor for a fee. And then another really cool aspect, one that I've done quite a bit of myself, is selling properties on terms deals. This is a kind of a cool way that you can generate more passive income and actually really boost up your return in the long term. And it's basically just you buy the property as you would normally, and then instead of selling it cash, you list it as, you know, some amount down and a payment per month. And so you can sell these parcels on, you know, 5, 7, 8 year contracts, and you've now generated passive income for a number of years, and you can get a really good return on the interest rate on that as well.
What's the best way to get started in the market? Download Andrew's ebook for free at stockmarketpdf.com.
That is fascinating. So I guess it really is. Frankly, it's way more involved than I guess I envisioned. And so as somebody that's thinking about something like this, how do you decide how active you want to be in this, managing that the business? Because as Jesse was saying, there's so many different steps involved in all this, or following kind of the idea that Kevin was just mentioning about the term deals and having more of a passive income. Can you have a mixture of those? Can you just do one or the other? Is it kind of a mix and match, or is it just kind of depend on your personality?
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely have a mix and match. I think a lot of people do kind of, you know, it does get quite involved, especially at the start, you know, acquiring property. But I think a lot of investors actually end up putting their properties on terms and sort of start building their portfolio that way and collect earnings every month, basically. But still, you still sort of have to kind of go through the different steps to be able to, you know, acquire the property, you know, and then flip it either for cash or terms. But yeah, you definitely can. How involved do you want to get in is really up to you. We have a lot of land investors that we work with. You know, they're doing a 9-to-5 or whatever and they're looking to sort of build their land investing business as their sort of retirement plan. Some, you know, we've got firefighters, people part of the Air Force, and all sorts of different things. So it's as involved as you want it to be. At the end of the day, how much volume want to go through type of thing. That's for definitely for you to kind of decide on that.
Another kind of a dumb question, I guess. So does land depreciate? So in other words, do you buy a property and have to worry about it being worth less in 5 years?
Well, there are market fluctuations that you need to be aware of, you know, just like any other market or any other property, things are going to go up and down. You don't have depreciation in the traditional sense on, say, a home where you depreciate your, you can claim depreciation on your tax return based on the properties, you know, being used. So you don't have that benefit with land investing, but some of the plus side is you get exempt from some of the restrictions around like doing terms deals can be more of an issue for if you wanted to say write a mortgage on a house, that can be a lot more restrictive, whereas selling land on a contract is much less restrictive. So there are pros and cons to both sides. Yeah.
I think one of the cool things, you know, coming from the house side of things before, and you know, and that's why a lot of people that are involved, you know, with homes start seeing how appealing land is the fact that you don't have to now deal with any structures. And the moment you have to deal with structures is it's a whole different ball game, a lot of different things that you have to worry about, whereas land is land. Now, given, you know, you should probably take a look at your property before you purchase. I've made a mistake when I first started, but I remember I looked at a piece of property on Google Maps, and I was still new to the whole thing, and it looked totally fine. There was just a little pile of garbage there. But when I got my photographer out there to, you know, I acquired the piece of property, and when I got my photographer to go out there, he's like, "Are you serious? Do you know what you just purchased?" And it looked like literally a 747 just crashed on the whole 5 acres there. So it was just a huge, huge mess out there. So, but overall, I mean, land is going to be land. It's always going to be there.
Now, is there like a max, let's say like maximum value that you recommend for somebody who's kind of doing it on their own? I'm sure you guys are aware of the crazy competition in real estate between real estate investment trusts, big private institutional investors, and everything like that. So are you like playing in a pond that's small enough where those big guys won't want to play, or are there some guidelines around that?
Yeah, I would say that compared to housing, it's a much less competitive environment. And like Jesse said, there's a lot of house people coming over to land because they are seeing it be a lot more restrictive. I mean, if you go to a real estate investing club and say there's 100 people in the room, ask all of them if you're doing land, and I guarantee nobody's going to say yes. So it's a pretty niche market. It's growing for sure because the profits are pretty crazy if you can find the right place to flip land. But certainly you're not dealing with those institutional investors and some of that crazy competition that we've seen in the housing space, especially over the past 5 years or so.
And, you know, you mentioned having access to some people you've seen had success. Were there any commonalities you noticed, or whether it was like a strategy a lot of them tend to use, or a way of doing things that tended to lead to success more than maybe your typical land investor?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Definitely consistency is a big deal. Just having sort of a process in place where you have your deal flow coming in and going out, and then just keeping that consistent. So that's what we teach a lot of our customers of our products, is you want to sort of get your system set up, and then you want to be mailing every single day, be receiving leads every single day, be working those leads every single day, and make sure that sort of machine is going. And it's once you build that consistency that you can start sort of moving the levers in terms of, do I want to do more deals next month or fewer deals next month? You can sort of dial up your mailing rates if you want to kind of do more or do less. And you can, as long as you can keep that stream, that pipeline flowing, you can sort of dial this thing into exactly the way you want. And we've got some people who are just doing this a couple nights a week. They're flipping a couple deals a month, and they're generating some great income, but they're not treating this as sort of a full-time thing. And then we've got people making millions of dollars a year doing this full-time. So it's, you can kind of decide how much you want to get into it.
So I guess a question that I have about this, is there a minimum that people need to have as far as a dollar amount to start with this? And, you know, and I guess the next logical question is, somebody worked in a bank for a while, do you have to have does your credit have to be fairly decent to do this? Like, if you got a credit score of 580, is this kind of like, I'm going to have to work on that first?
Well, if you have cash, then your credit doesn't really matter because you're paying cash. Nobody's going to be asking for your credit score. So I'll tell you my story. When I first heard about this, and I talked to my wife about it, and we said we wanted to try this out, I basically had saved up about $5,000, and I said, I'm going to use this $5,000 to buy my first property, do the marketing, see if I could flip it, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, you know, losing $5,000 sucks, but it's not going to break me. So that's sort of what I did. I know a lot of people do it for a lot less. You know, you can go out there and buy squares of property out in the desert for $100 a pop. So you can really do this for a lot less. But me personally, I said $5,000, and I made that back in, I think, a month and a half from the time that I first bought my first property. So
I think I started with just under, I mean, it was also cash. I spent about $200 on my first mailing, and then acquired my first property, two properties for $500 a piece. There were desert lots. Had no access. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get rid of this, but whatever, I'm going to give it a shot. It seems to be like the returns and the barrier to entry into this is just so low. I've tried so many different, you know, businesses, and, you know, I tried so many different things. I was like, what do I have to lose? It's just such a low barrier to entry. And, I mean, like I mentioned, within I think I listed it that weekend after I acquired it, and like I had like three people who wanted to camp out on my desert lot, which didn't even make sense to me, and I ended up flipping, you know, for $5,000 within my first 4 weeks, and then 2 weeks later, just down the highway, I had the same exact thing, and you know, already within. Now this, mind you, this didn't happen to everybody, but that's sort of what like opened my eyes. Like, wait a minute, this is a little bit crazy here.
Yeah, the first major, like my first few deals were kind of, I was making money, but I wasn't like killing it. And then I think around month three, I bought a property for $3,000, and I listed it, and within I think a couple weeks, somebody submitted a down payment on my website for $22,000. Yeah, so they put a down payment for $4,000. So just their down payment paid for the property, and then they did a terms deal for the rest for the $20,000. So plus the so it ended up being like a 5 year or 8 year term deal. And I was so shocked. I didn't think it was real. I was like, this must be a scammer. Like, there's no way this works this well, this easily.
Did they pay you in Bitcoin?
The guy, and I was like, are you sure? Like, you really want this? He's like, yeah. Like, my family lives in the area. Like, I go hiking up there all the time. Love the spot. Got a great view. I'm going to build a house up there. He was like super stoked about this. And he was like, and I'm getting it for such a good price. And I was like, okay, yeah. Okay. And it worked out great. I mean, I made, you know, whatever that is, 700% profit. Now, not every deal works like that. I'm not saying that everything does, but when you do get a home run like that, you sort of have to pinch yourself and be like, there's no way that I just did that. But there it is, like, money's in my bank account. Like, it totally worked.
Yeah. Sounds like you're trying to talk him out of it.
I really was. I was like, now you're sure. Like, this is like a wooded lot. Like, it's going to take some work to put a house in there. And he's like, oh yeah, like, I know. He's like, I had my construction friend go check it out. He says it's all good. I'm like, okay. Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. So how many properties do you guys generally manage at one time?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, it really depends on, again, what sort of bandwidth you have in terms of, we have, you know, users of our software that, I don't know, they're over 100 properties on terms. And there's people that, you know, may only have a couple properties, and it depends on how long in the game you have been in there for, or it's sort of all over the place. Again, it really depends. And there's obviously, you know, when you're sort of starting to manage so many properties, especially on terms, you're now sort of looking at software and different systems to help you automate and sort of allow you to get back the time that, you know, it becomes really involved is what I'm trying to get at. And so that's why there's sort of software and whatnot out there that sort of help you manage a lot of these properties. Same with the entire sort of deal flow as well. And as we sort of mentioned, a lot of this is, you know, they're very repeatable steps. There's sort of no magic to this. It's like Kevin said, it's sort of consistency. And that's what sort of led us to build, you know, what REI Conversion with our tool, like REI Pebble, which is a land management tool for the entire deal cycle type of thing. So, yeah, again, to answer your question, it really depends how much you want to take on.
That makes sense. So, you know, we talked about some of the ideas of how people can find success. What about avoiding failure? If somebody was just starting, let's say tomorrow, what kind of a thing would you say, hey, don't do this, outside of like, don't buy a property that, you know, looks awful?
Yeah, you can certainly cut your teeth on smaller dollar properties. And that way you can sort of just get the feel of the cycle. And that's the way I started out. And I would recommend anyone to do that. Just just use an amount of money you're comfortable with. And even if you're not making huge profits, my first few properties, I made money, but it wasn't, if you added up all the hours I was spending just trying to figure it out, I probably didn't actually make any money. So those first few deals are just about a way to figure out the flow. Mm-hmm. And then you can sort of amp it up. But in terms of avoiding failure, one thing that I did, and this isn't for everybody, but I paid for a course, an online course, just of somebody who had been doing this for years and really did a great job with putting together a end-to-end, like, this is how the whole process works. For me, that gave me a lot of confidence that I could do this and that I could follow these same steps and get this thing done. So for me, that was a huge thing. I would avoid, you know, certainly there are some people selling major, like, in-person training courses that are a big investment. And for some people, those work out. And if that's something that if you need someone to really be there coaching you along the way, then that can be something. But I've also seen people kind of spend a lot of money on those courses and never really get to the point of actually flipping land. But, there's some online courses that are really good and won't break the bank. And then there's obviously ways that you can learn this stuff on your own and not need to do something like that.
I too would say, you know, I get to chat with a lot of new investors and or people who want to get into land investing. And I think there's just a lot of nuances to the whole sort of, I guess, what you call the deal cycle. And, you know, going through someone's course and it's easy for me and Kevin to say this because we're not gurus, we're not pushing any courses or anything like that. So I too encourage, you know, if you wanted to get into this, to look into some sort of education, and because there's a lot of nuances in the steps of doing this business. And, you know, when you're starting out, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Just do it and stay consistent. And as you sort of start understanding the different processes is when you can start experimenting. I a lot of times I do meet a lot of people who are super excited and want to try all sorts of different things to kind of get an edge over everybody else or whatever it may be. But, you know, they you know, a lot of these, I guess these steps are tested and battle, you know, tested type of thing, and it works. And from there, you know, you'll get an understanding of how you can start refining your processes.
Exactly.
The concept makes sense, and I can see how it can be an untapped potential. And, you know, really, I haven't really heard of it, and so it's interesting just to hear your guys' perspective and hear what's possible if you're out there willing to do the work and kind of put in the hustle. I was staying in a cabin in the mountains last year, and I happened to pick up one of the local newspapers, and they had in the classifieds, they were selling a piece of land. And I was like, wow, that actually is a lot less on the dollar percent, you know, not dollar percentage, but on the total dollar amount compared to like how many acres they were offering. And, you know, for all I knew, that could have been one of you guys, but
yeah, it might have been.
it does sound like something where people can kind of pursue it and really, really go after it and cut their teeth if it's something they're interested in. So what are some of the things that you guys do to help people who are in that spot?
Yeah. So we have a platform inside of REI Conversion called Pebble, or REI Pebble, which is sort of a land management, you could call it a platform or a CRM system to help you from the entire deal flow of, you know, sending out your mailers automatically, getting those out for you, because there's no way you can get anything started without getting these mailers out or these letters that have offers or that express interest that you're looking to purchase their property, to all the way to, you know, generating documents. A lot of us self-close on those properties, and the system will sort of generate those documents for you. Then it'll sort of start helping you and manage your marketing side of things, whether there are people interested in selling you their property or buying your property. All of that gets managed and taken care of inside of REI Pebble. And then on the sort of front-facing thing side of things, we also help our investors launch their websites, websites to buy the property from people who want to sell, and then on the other side, which is to sell their property to people who want to buy. So we sort of get your entire system from A to Z set up, allow it to sort of run and allow you to scale your business, so that you can, you know, whether you want to send more mailings, start doing more properties, it's a lot easier to do so. Kevin, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. I think just getting educated. There's a few books out there about this. Just learning as much as you can, and sort of figuring out what you're comfortable doing is an important first step in getting started.
You know, also we've got a podcast, and again, I'm not an educator, I'm not a land educator or anything like that, but I do get a chance to speak to a lot of ordinary people who are getting into land and are doing really well in land, in the land business. So you can always check that out also on our site, reiconversion.com/podcast, or you can always find our podcast on iTunes as well. And again, just sort of hearing some of the stories and some of the different things that land investors are doing, sort of can shed some light on how this all works.
Wow, that's cool. What was the podcast called again?
It's called REI Conversion. So the three letters and then a separate word, conversion.
Cool. REI Conversion. Okay. Yep. So yeah, well, thank you guys for being generous with your ideas and your time. I definitely learned a thing or two. I'm sure Dave did too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us on the show.
I learned a ton. Yeah, this was fascinating.
If anybody has questions for us, you know, we're always happy to chat. We've got a Facebook group and website, and we're happy to just sit down and talk with you where you're at, what kind of steps you might need to take to move forward. We're not here to try to sell you on our products, but we just really enjoy talking to people looking to get into the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to come and talk to us and help educate us about this, because again, like Andrew was saying, this is something we were not familiar with, and we like to share these kinds of things with our listeners, because you never know who's going to be listening to the show and go, "Hey, that is the thing for me." And if we can point somebody in that direction and point them towards you guys, because, you know, I think you guys both, you know, sound very knowledgeable and really know what you're talking about, and I think you both care about trying to help people too, which is awesome as well. So we really appreciate you guys taking the time and coming to talk to us today.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I was that person 2 years ago. So
we all were at some point. You got to start somewhere, right?
All right, folks. Well, with that, we are going to wrap up tonight's conversation with Jesse and Kevin. I wanted to thank both of them for taking the time to come talk to us and educate us a little bit more about land investing. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and sign us off. You guys go out there and invest with a margin of safety. Emphasis on the safety. Have a great week. We'll talk to you all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this content. 7 Steps to Understanding the Stock Market shows you precisely how to break down the numbers in an engaging and readable way with real-life examples. Get access today at stockmarketpdf.com. Until next time, have a prosperous day.
The information contained is for general information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for a substitute for legal, commercial, and/or financial advice from a licensed professional. Review our full disclaimer at einvestingforbeginners.com.